Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Praise Dieu. Hey, I'm speaking in the heavenly language. The Tao van the Yimel. Oh, praise God. One time I was attending the Billy Graham conference in Amsterdam, and Billy Graham told us a story of two boys who were boasting at each other, and they wanted to show off that their fathers were the greatest. And one boy wanted to show off to his friend that, you know, my father is the greatest preacher in the world. He said, how? He says, my father preaches without notes. And the other one says, now, well, how can I beat my friend? So the other one said, well, my father is the greatest. He preaches without thinking. So I've got the notes, and I'm thinking. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we might as well close the service. God has already worked through the praise and worship. We saw the visitation of the Spirit of God this evening. Eh? The walls of Jericho fell down because of worship. Worship is powerful. You know, the devil wanted people to worship him. And he said to Jesus, I'll give you this whole world if you worship me. What a fool he was. Because the whole world belonged to Jesus. It was created for him and by him and for him. So the devil was trying to offer something that belonged to Jesus already. Yeah, so our worship is powerful, and I love, you know, time where I worship, where I can allow the Spirit of God to minister into my life. Because each day I'm a person who is striving, who is hungry for God, to have more about God. And I'm a four-hour sleeper. I sleep 4 hours, I sleep midnight, and by four I'm on my knees just to have that fellowship with God, the quality time with God. And when you leave that place on your knees, man, you have the fresh anointing. Amen. Yeah, but also when I sleep, I snore professionally. That's anointed snoring. Some of you snore like kids, but we are real men. Yeah, so I want to bless the Lord. The verse which has been working lately in my life is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where God says, come up here. So every time, I don't want to be on this level. I want to come higher and higher and higher with the Lord. Come up here, because in that verse says, I saw a door opened. I saw a door opened. Now, this door was standing there in the sky, but an open door. And the word of God continues, says, come up here, and I will show you things that must take place. And if you want to see God revealing things into your life, you cannot reveal things in your life on the same level. You have to go higher, you see new things. Higher, you see new things. But on a familiar ground, no. Because you get too used with God, it becomes your buddy, your brew. In Afrikaans, is that right? Yeah. Yeah, you have to discover God in a fresh way, in a new way most of the time. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for the song we just sang, you know, God will take me through the fire. God will take me through the waters. He will be my shield, my shelter. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, I want to talk about taking a risk for one man. Taking a risk for one man. Mark chapter 4 from verse 35. Mark chapter 4 from verse 35. Are we together? Hey man, the yes is so bad. Wow. Yeah, Mark chapter 4 from verse 35. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." It was not during the day. It was when evening came. Now, when evening comes, you don't cross over the sea. You don't know what is happening in the sea. But Jesus, at that evening, says, "Let us go over the other side." Now, this world we live in is like a sea. We have to cross over to the other side. And every day you must live as if tonight you are living to the other side. Amen. Don't live as if this world is for you and Donald Trump. No. It's not for you. This world is a strange country. Things which are happening. People are being beheaded. Women being raped. Every 3 minutes, there's a girl raped somewhere in South Africa. Every 3 minutes. This is not a world to live in, to enjoy, to desire to be in. But I am each day preparing myself to go to the other side, into glory, where I'll be with my Savior forever and ever and ever and ever. Wow, what a place to be. Man, if you want to stay there, commit sin. If you want to enjoy this world, commit sin. But if you want to go to the other side, you have to join Jesus. Because he is the one inviting his disciples, "Let us go the other side." Then leaving the crowd behind him. Now, if I were an evangelist, the largest group or audience I've preached was in Addis Ababa, where I preached to 500,000 people in one sitting. In March this year, I was preaching to almost 6,000 people in the big auditorium in France. But Jesus was leaving that crowd, leaving that group. As a preacher, I would have said, that's an audience where I would like to preach it. But Jesus was leaving that crowd. He left that crowd. He says, "Let us go the other side." He was taking a risk for one man. So when they get to the boat, in the boat, listen what happens. Verse 3. A furious squall came up, a great storm. I want to speak about this G's, great storm. You know, a great storm came, started shaking the boat. Do you know, in this world, there are so many things shaking us. Things of immorality, gay issue. Universities are full of unrest now. In the high learning, we'd think people are high learned, they will behave themselves. But in Pietermaritzburg, they burnt the library. And they want to have the books at the same time. I mean, something is wrong. Something is wrong. I didn't go to school. If I burn those books, it doesn't. I don't worry because I didn't go to school. I don't see the value of those books. I remember when I was proposing my wife, I didn't speak English. My adjective was going this way, my noun was there, my adjective was so, everything was confused. And this girl was saying, what type of a man is he? My English was so bad. And I told her my whole life story in 2 hours. She was listening from this guy who was a murderer, who was a guerrilla fighter, a gang leader, a drug addict. She listened for 2 hours. And in the end, I said, well, that's me. I've got only one suit, 6 shirts, 1 cup, 1 plate, 1 spoon. That's the whole possession I have. If someone can steal my suitcase, has stolen everything I have in the world. Then she said to me, I love you. I said, what? I said everything I could say for her. I wanted her to say, no, I don't love you. So I could go back to God. I said, God, I told you, nobody will love me. But she said, yes. Now I didn't know what to say next. I said, can we pray? So I prayed a very long prayer. So in my prayer, I was saying, now, if I say amen now, what would I say to her? So the prayer went on and on and on. I was shy to look at her. That a highly learned girl could say yes to me. She was a banker, but she said yes to me. A graduate saying yes to me, to a man who has never been in school. I started reading when I was 22 years old. And God opened my eyes to read his book at the age of 22. I didn't know how to write my name. I didn't know my surname. I'm called Lungu. Lungu is not my father's surname. I was given this surname by a white missionary. I didn't know my father. But you know, when God is visiting a young man, he takes a risk. And God took a risk because of this one man. Amen? And so here, there was a great storm shaking that boat. You know, as we go in this world, there are so many storms in our lives. Storms of deaths, storms of disagreements, storms in the government, storms in the family. There are so many storms in our lives. Maybe it can be a storm of your cigarette. Can be a storm of anything else in your life. You are struggling. You want to get higher, but that seems like there's an elastic band pulling you downwards. You want to go higher, but every time you are struggling to go forward because there's a storm in your life. And I had those storms, and I used to ask questions, why me? Why did my father and mother reject me? Why my mother didn't strangle me the day I was born? Why did she breastfeed me? I hated my mother. I hated my father. I said, the day I'll see my father, I'll kill him. And so I meant it. So God, in his mercy, in his love, he was going the other side for one man. Amen? So as they were going there, they see a great storm came. Man, that shook that boat. In Hebrews chapter 12, 11, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 11, verse 15 and 16, it says, if, it starts with if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. So if you are thinking from the old life where you left, you are thinking of that past, easily you go back because you are thinking about it. You are contemplating about it because you say, oh, before and then, this is what I used to have, nice girlfriends, nice this. You know, you are thinking about it. But when you turn around, you put everything behind you, you say, I'm determined, come what may, I'm determined to follow Jesus. Man, when I came to Jesus, before I used to steal, I used to do armed robbery. I had plenty of money as a gang leader. I had no lack of money, food, everything. I survived by stealing. I survived by shooting people. I survived by stealing, breaking into homes. That's how I survived. But the night I came to Jesus, I was born again, thoroughly born again. My brothers, my sisters, that was the first time I suffered. I went to the Presbyterian church, they say, God bless you. I went to the Methodist, they say, God bless. No church took me in. No church gave me food. I expected the church to embrace me, to love me, but no church loved me. I hated the church because they said, just God bless you. And so that's the time I suffered most. Many days sleeping without food, crying under the bridge. God, where are you? Where are you? Have you ever slept 3 days, 4 days, 1 week without food? You feel the stomach is just cutting itself. You are just desperate for death. Sometimes you want death, but death doesn't come by. So I was in that storm of my life. Going through that storm was tough. But, you know, that storm was shaking my life. Because I had crossed the other side. I was going with Jesus the other side. And as they were there, when this storm came, then there was great fear. There was great fear. How often most of us, we fear things, even shadows, even our own shadows. You are afraid even of your own shadow. You are afraid even to switch off the lights, of the darkness in your room. You are afraid of things you don't know what it is. You have that fear of tomorrow. You have that fear of your education. Will I make it? That fear grips you and makes you sick. When you have that fear, you are not sure, you lose balance of yourself. Fear is terrible, terrible. Fear is terrible. So the disciples of Jesus, when the storm was shaking the boat, they were gripped by great fear. But when there's great fear, there was great prayer. When there was great fear, there was great prayer. Jesus, we perish. Don't you care? But you know, when in that situation, Jesus was fast asleep, snoring like Stephen Lungu. Oh, man. Oh, I love Jesus. He was fast asleep in the boat. But you know, there are situations where you say, when you are going through that storm, you feel you are all by yourself. But Jesus is close by, fast asleep. Amen. You just need to have that great prayer. When you pray, he wakes up. But when Jesus wakes up, he gives a great rebuke to the wind. And he said, be still. Now, you know, what I like about Jesus, the wind has got ears, they can hear his voice. The storm has got ears, they can hear his voice. The tree had ears, the fig tree had ears. He rebuked the fig tree and it withered. Even the bread had ears. When he talked to the bread increases. They started, the fish increases. 5,000 people were fed. Those things had ears. Water had ears.
could carry Jesus as he walked over. Nothing stopped Jesus because he's the King of Kings. In the storms of your life this evening, those storms have ears. Because when Jesus rebukes those storms, listen, there was great peace. There was great peace. Hey, I love that. Okay, just imagine the peace of the water. I've been in Canada, I was almost drowning. We went through a small boat with a small boat, but the wind was tossing us up and down, up and down. Man, I've never prayed that like that day. Woo! You confess all your sins and repent that day. See, I said, God, if there's any sin in me, if I drown, please forgive me. But you know, that day God blessed us. We went through, and suddenly, you know, the wind died down and was calm. And I saw it with my own eyes. You know, when you serve God, you see miracle after miracle after miracle. But when he rebuked the wind, he also rebuked the disciples of little faith. And maybe you need that rebuke tonight, where God rebukes you for doubting God. Amen? There's no big amen, you know. Hallelujah. Yeah, so when God rebukes you, you repent. You say, God, I'm so sorry. I doubted you. And so in my life, I had to repent many times because God, sometimes I say, God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? But also I had to build my faith. I said, God, I don't receive a salary. I don't have a salary. I'm an evangelist. But God, I want to trust you. You blessed me with 5 children. Thank you, God. But I'm going to adopt 13 children from the streets. Pick up our children who have been thrown away. So we picked up little children who were thrown away by their mothers. One was left in a carton. 1 day old. And now she's a professor in London. And you know, God, I said, God, what you did in my life, I want to give back to the street kids, to return my thanks to you by adopting these children. But remember, when I was adopting these children, I had no salary. I lived by faith. The story my brother was telling you about food, that was about my wife. Many times we didn't have food. And I'd go to school to pay school fees to ask the principal, please give me 2 days, I'll repay the school fees. The school fees for who? I said, my 13 children. I said, no, it has been paid for. I said, by who? I said, the person said, we mustn't tell you. So all the 13 children got the education by God's providence. I never paid 1 cent on those children. I never went to a shop to buy clothes for them. I saw God's provision every day. What my brother was telling you, when you give to God, wait what God will see in your life. Hallelujah. I shared my testimony just last time I was here. I was praying. I was going to the scrapyard for a 4x4 to buy one where I could panel beat it. God rebuked me, said, Stephen, you have saved me faithfully. Why are you going to the scrapyards? And I said, God, I stop. And I stopped. A month later, I got a call from Johannesburg. He says, are you Stephen Lunga? I said, yes. Do you know my car, Toyota? I said, yes. But for I said, I'll go and get a car for yourself. I said, no, are you joking? And he said, and he says to me, Stephen, when you preach, you don't joke. So when I give, I don't joke. So I went and got this brand new 4x4. And my brother Sias and I, we were praying for 4x4s in Namibia So I got a 4x4. He got a 4x4. Hallelujah. Isn't that God good? We were talking like, you know, little children trusting God, but God has performed that miracle. I've never met the person. He has never met the person. Isn't the wonderful God we serve? Oh, man. I will never leave this God. Never. I've loved him. I've seen him. I've experienced him. And I'm more hungry for God. So they saw the great prayer, and there was great peace. Hallelujah. When there's great peace, what next? There was great amazement. When there's great peace, there's great amazement. Here in the Stellenbosch, when you are amazed, you don't say, No, you say, wow. You open the mouth wide. That's amazement. Hallelujah. So when they saw this, they were saying, wow, we have never seen anything like this, that even the wind and the storm obey him. Now, what can Jesus fail in your life? You have been struggling to stop smoking. You have been struggling to sleep with girls. You have been struggling to stop drugs. You have been struggling to live that habit. You have a habit you can't stop. And even your mind. Young boys, you look at a girl, you are undressing. Your eyes full of adultery. You have habits which you can't stop. But let me tell you, let Jesus come into your life. And you'll see a miracle this evening. Amen? Hallelujah. So there was great amazement. But in chapter 5 of Mark chapter 5, then there was a great arrival. When there's great amazement, there was a great arrival. When Jesus arrived the other side. Now, verse 2 says in chapter 5, when he got out of the boat. I like that. Listen, Jesus is in the boat. But the Bible says when Jesus got out of the boat, his foot goes to that vicinity, that area, that place. When his feet touches that area, something is about to happen. When Jesus steps in your situation, something is about to happen. Amen. When Jesus goes out of the boat and comes into your problems, something is about to happen. Allow him in to step into your life, in that situation of your life. Allow him in to step in your relationship, your love relationship. Because some relationships are not healthy. But allow him in into a relationship there, that when he comes between you and your boyfriend or girlfriend, he rebuilds that relationship in the kingdom relationship. We are tired of these relationships which you sleep together, have sex together. No. When you have Jesus in that relationship, you have the kingdom relationship. Amen? I know you will not invite me again. I don't worry. I don't care. God has given me many pulpits around the world. Hallelujah. So when you have Jesus in your relationship, man, you have got a kingdom relationship. When Jesus steps in your marriage, you have the kingdom marriage. When Jesus comes into your education system, you have the kingdom education system. Hallelujah. We want to have churches which are kingdom-minded, not churches which are pastor-minded. Where you elevate a pastor like he's a little god. No, we want to have kingdom mind, kingdom behavior, kingdom lifestyle. But when Jesus stepped out of the boat, something was about to happen. And a man who was possessed by demons runs to Jesus. Oof, it was a wonderful scene. This man lost his dignity, his self-esteem, lost his marriage, lost his all what he had. He was lunatic. And he was sleeping at the graveyard. For him, in his mind, he was living at a five-star place. Everything he saw, the tombs, it was like a five-star hotel. And and the Bible says no one could pass by there. And the Bible says they tied him shackles, he broke them. With ropes, he broke them. And nobody could tame him. There are young people seated here tonight. Your father has failed to tame you. The school has failed to tame you. Your friends have failed to tame you. But Jesus is here. When Jesus gets out of the boat, something is about to happen in your life. The police had failed to tame me. The church had failed to tame me. Everything had failed to tame me. They tried with shackles, everything failed. In fact, when you talked about Jesus, I would give you a bullet. I didn't love this name, Jesus. Jesus to me was a white man's God. There was no way I could believe in the white man's God. My drugs, my gun was my God. My AK-47 was my God. And I vowed, you kill a white man, the only day you greet a white man, you kill him first, then greet him when he's dead. That's how I hated a white man. But when Jesus stepped out of the boat into my life, oh, I love white men like anything. Oh, whether you like it or not, I love you. I can't help it. I like your long nose. Phrase, isn't it? Ooh. I love my flat nose, which brings a lot of fresh air, you know. But, you know, when Jesus came into my life, he stepped in my life. He changed the Stephen I was from hatred to love, to joy, to peace. He changes my whole character. And number 2, verse 6, as I close. Number 2, verse 6. When he saw Jesus. Man, you can't see Jesus and stand straight, you know. Like our young people there, they see Jesus with the cap backwards, chewing gum, and I want to accept Jesus. I said, this guy is not serious. You can't see Jesus and stay the same. And stand the same. You lie prostrate. You fall down at your feet because you have seen the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Wow. The night I had my AK-47, I was seated right at the back, right at the back. And I wanted to kill everyone who was there. And I gave 2 minutes, only 2 minutes. After 2 minutes, we go out and throw the bombs in that tent. But, you know, God used a young, beautiful girl to attract me. Man, that girl was gorgeous. I tell you, she was gorgeous. Ooh. And I sat there. She was sharing a testimony. Then she was glittering. There was that glow around her. And I said to my friend on my left, do you see that girl shining? I said, no, she's not shining. And I said to my friend on my right, do you see that girl shining? He said, no, she's not shining. I said, what type of eyes do you have, you guys? But the girl was, you know, glowing. And I said, now, what's going on? I've never seen a pretty girl becoming a Christian. I used to think Christianity is for the old grannies who are about to die. or maybe ugly girls with wrong figures and so on. Boys didn't love them. The only thing they had to be Christians. They were too ugly to be loved. So, but this girl was shining with the glory of God. God used her to attract. Then she finished by calling another evangelist. He said, for you to understand how I came to Jesus, he calls this evangelist. And this evangelist stands up, reads two verses, Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. And he reads 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty you may be rich in Christ. Man, this man, after reading this, he started to cry. I said, no, now I've never seen a preacher. After reading the script, he starts by crying. Why is he crying? But as it were, to answer my questions in my heart, and he says, I'm crying because the Spirit of God is speaking with my spirit. That many people seated here tonight are going to die. I said, oh, who told him what you were about to do? Hey, I said, guys, get ready. So I took one of my guns from the back, tucked it in front. We started making our bombs ready. Yeah, to explode. I said, guys, get ready. You hear what that preacher say? And he starts preaching the gospel that night. And in tears, he was crying all the time. But what I didn't like about him was his finger. Every time he pointed that finger like he was pointing at me. And he would point this direction like the finger was bending towards me. So I took out my knife to kill this friend. I said, why did you tell the preacher about me? And he took out his knife. He said, I'll also kill you. You told him about mine too. And then we faced each other with our knives like this. But that finger of that preacher made me restless. I said, this preacher has no manners at all. But that finger, man, was just pointing at me. So I said, okay, I'm more clever than the preacher. So this time when we do this, I would duck down behind someone's back. And I would sit there. When the finger comes, I would duck down. So I was going up and down, up and down. That day I was like a good Muslim, I think. But you know, little did I know that you can never hide from the finger of God. I started crying at the back there. And I picked up my AK-47. And all my bombs, and while I was still preaching, I started walking forward. And I came down at his feet and grabbed his feet, crying, broken before God, crying for mercy from God. That night was a new Stephen being born. And I remember that night after the bomb exploded, people started fleeing for their lives. Every car was set ablaze. No car survived that night. And I happened to be the only boy who remained behind out of 3,000 people. One boy remained behind. And even the preachers despised me. Said, God, such a thin, pathetic boy. And even the preacher that night, he had to use his handkerchief talking to me because my body was stinking. I'd never had a bath for many months. And I said, what? He said, why have you remained behind? I said, can you, Jesus, save a sinner like me? He said, yes, God loves you. And I pulled out my gun, pointed on his forehead, about to pull the trigger. Don't tell me about God. I don't like God. I want your Jesus I've been preaching about tonight. To me, I thought God was different. I thought Jesus was different. This preacher started crying. He said, God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus are one. He explained the Trinity. Then he said, young boy, listen to me. A young girl was raped in Soweto and Johannesburg. She became pregnant. And after 9 months, she gave birth in a public toilet in Soweto. She took the baby, threw that baby in the toilet and ran away. Another woman was going to help herself, found a baby, pulled out that child, rushed to the hospital. That child survived. And he said, that child is me. And I said, he's like me. His life is identical with my story. So he reads to me Psalms 27, verse 10. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. That night, like this man, when he saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus. He kneels down. The posture changes. He kneels to Jesus. He says, listen, demons knew Jesus, that we know you. You are the Holy Son of the Living God. And yet people who are educated, they say there's no God. People who are in university, they say there's no God. But demons knew who Jesus was. So demons are better than you. And so, you know, that night, when he read that scripture, I said, Jesus, come into my life. And he asked him his name. What is your name? You know, this man had lost his identity, had lost his dignity, lost his esteem, lost all who he was. He didn't know even his own name. They are here. Many people are here tonight. You may be called John by many people, but your character gives you a name. If you are a prostitute, that is not your name, but the things you do give you that name, a prostitute. A smoker, a drunkard, a drug addict. That's not your name. Like this man didn't know his name. And you don't know that name, that you are bound by these demons of smoking, drugs, sex outside marriage, and so on. You are bound, and each time you say, it is cool. Is that cool? Young girl, young boy, if you lose your virginity, that blood, that first day of sex, it's a covenant. Remember, that blood is a covenant. You are attached to that man, that woman you slept with. That covenant will give you the guilt conscience right through your life. Even if you are married by another man, but you had a covenant with that woman, man. So the only way is to allow Jesus to step in your situation, to change that, to take away the guilt. Why are there men divorces around the world? You see a man marrying the most beautiful Miss World, the most gorgeous girl in the world, but 6 months later they've divorced. Why? And yet he married the most gorgeous girl. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. That's why men run from one woman to another. One woman to another. They are not satisfied. Even if you may have a wife here, but your eyes are still looking outside, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Why are you watching that woman? Why are you looking at that woman too long? Something is wrong. So that's why you need to change your mindset. Take that mind under the blood of Jesus, under the control of Jesus. Let Jesus step into that mind. When he steps into that mind, you have Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Amen. So you think about Christ, you talk about Christ. For me, I enjoy talking about Jesus. When I get in the plane, the unfortunate person is the one who sits next to me. By the time we land, you have heard about Jesus. I can't stop talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. When I go through the immigration, I don't stop talking about it. I use my passport to talk about Jesus. When the immigration officer said, you are welcome, I said, are you welcome, ma'am? I said, oh, where? I'm not traveling. I said, ma'am, you are traveling very fast, to hell or to heaven. So So they start crying. When they start crying, they take me in the inside office to lead them to Jesus. At Johannesburg Airport, I've led many immigration officers to Christ. In Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand, I lead many immigration officers to Christ. I don't zip my mouth. I don't have foot and mouth disease. Many of you have got foot and mouth disease. You are shy to talk about Jesus. You are shy to go for Jesus. Hallelujah. But when, before I could talk, I used to take drugs for me to be active. But now, when Jesus came into my life, the Spirit of God filled me. Man, I'm just unstoppable. I can't stop talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, man, I win people every day. At the filling station, I don't fill up my car without talking about Jesus. I'm always talking about Jesus because he's so sweet into my life. He stepped into my life and changed my life. And lastly, when verse 15, are we together? 5 minutes I've got, eh? Thank you, sir. Verse 15. Verse 2 is when Jesus got out of the... Verse 6, when the man saw Jesus, ran to Jesus. But verse 15, when they came to Jesus, the crowd, the village, when they came to Jesus, what did they see? They saw the man who had a legion of demons sitting, one, dressed, two, in his right mind, three. But you know, when demons were coming out from this man, the demons begged, said, "Hey, Jesus, ooh, we are afraid of you. Can you send us to those pigs?" Jesus allowed the demons to go to the pigs. And 2,000 demons went to 2,000 pigs. Now, look at the value of pork. Jesus looked at the value of pork. That was millions of dollars. But then he valued the pigs, the pork, the amount of money, and then he looked at the value of one man. And he says, "Oh, let me all save this one man and let the demons go to the pigs." Now, when the demons came to pigs, you know, listen, the pig says, "These things which have come to us, they are so bad. It's good to commit suicide." So the pigs committed suicide in the sea. And yet people, they enjoy with a demon of cigarette, a demon of prostitution. They enjoy to live with it. While pigs committed suicide. Are we together? Are we together? Now, let me stop. Three things. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by demons. They saw him seated. These are the feet of Jesus. He's sitting like this at the feet of Jesus. That means when Jesus steps in your life, you have peace with God, peace with the Savior, peace with all men. You are at peace with yourself. There are many people who are not at peace with themselves. So because they are not at peace with themselves, they've got no peace with other people. So when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you have peace with God. Then the second thing was what? He was dressed. All along he was naked. Any man outside Christ is naked before God. But when you come to Christ, you are dressed in his righteousness. Because Jesus on the cross was undressed. And when he was undressed, that righteousness was to dress you. So he became naked for your sake, that you may be dressed in his righteousness. When God looks in heaven, you smell Jesus. But when you are dressed in your own righteousness, when you go to heaven, you stink. And God will kick you away. You are stinking. But when you are dressed in the righteousness of God, when God says, hey, there goes my daughter, you are smelling Jesus. There goes my son, you have Jesus. You are dressed in his righteousness. And then when you are dressed in his righteousness, number three, he was in his right mind. I've never around the world seen a person who is in right mind except the one in Christ Jesus. You are in your right mind. The way you talk, the way you love, the way you respect elders, you are in your right mind. Maybe you have been struggling with things in your life. You say, God, what you did to Stephen, I want you to touch me, to bless me. I want to be anointed by the Spirit of God. Make me another Stephen Lungu. And God will do it. He hasn't finished on me. He has for you tonight. You say, God, I'm going through a storm. Remember, there's a great Savior in that storm. And remember, in that storm, you must have a great prayer. There will be a great rebuke. And after a great rebuke, hey, man, there will be great peace and great amazement. And then there will be a great arrival. For one man, Jesus was taking that risk, having all the pigs perish for one person. Even tonight, if it is only one person who comes forward here, I will rejoice. Because the night I came to Jesus, I was only one out of 3,000 people, only one boy. Imagine even that boy who came forward, I was even stinking. The preacher had to use his handkerchief. But, you know, the preachers told me that we were so disappointed that night that this only boy was thin, pathetic. Man, what a disappointment. I was a disappointment even to the preachers. But little did they know that this boy they are praying for will preach at the Pentagon, will preach in Australia in Parliament, will preach to many presidents, will preach at Harvard University, will preach all these great universities around the world. He will travel around the whole globe. But that night when I came to Jesus, they despised me. I was a nobody, stinking. But Jesus took me, and nobody, and made me a somebody. And I'm what I am by the grace of God. Maybe you are here. You are that person. Only one. I don't mind a group, but only one. You say, God, I want you to touch me. I want to obey Revelation chapter 4. Come up here. I'm tired to stay on the same level. I want to go higher with the Lord. If it is you are only one person, I don't mind. Shall we stand? You say, God, even it is me only, you did to Stephen, I want to be bold enough to come forward. And I want you to bless me tonight. I want to be like Jacob, say, bless me. I will not let you go tonight until you bless me. Pray that prayer. Just come forward. You say, God, I've got things, storms in my life. I've got fears, things of tomorrow, what, I don't know what it is, but God, I want to go higher. I want you to touch me. Just come forward. God bless you. Just begin coming forward and say, God, I don't want to be on this same level for too long. Say, God, I want you to touch me. I want to bless me tonight.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.